Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
International mission to find the missing Titan submersible at the site of the Titanic wreck ended in tragedy yesterday after rescuers said the vessel had suffered a catastrophic implosion, killing all five crew members on board. Parts of the Ocean Gate Titan were found close to the liner's final resting place during an 11th-hour rescue mission when the vessel's oxygen supply was believed to have run out and hopes of success were almost impossible. Alex Thompson is chief correspondent and presenter with Channel 4 News. He's been following the story closely and joins us now. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Colm.
It was the news nobody really wanted to hear, but yesterday afternoon the Coast Guard confirmed they'd found debris near the wreck of the Titanic.
Yes, I mean, it was the news that was frankly inevitable when something goes wrong for that degree of time at that depth. I think anybody, you ask anybody who works in the industry of North Sea diving and so forth, they would tell you that they would have known instinctively and technically that these people would have been pretty much, would have been effectively had no chance of survival as from the moment this happened at that depth.
We heard reports over a number of days of banging sounds coming from the ocean that diverted the search effort to a certain degree. But the US Navy detected sounds consistent with an implosion just hours after the Titan began its dive on Sunday. What more can you tell us about that?
Yes, the US Navy said they detected this sound, although they left it very late in the day to disclose that particular information. I mean, what happened here was scarcely even a search. They simply put down a submersible, a remote-controlled, non-manned submersible, dropped it straight down, as you'd expect, from the last known point at which this vessel, the submersible Titan, had communicated with the mothership. And they just kept on going straight down there. And as soon as they got down there, they found debris. There was scarcely a search. There was a wide-ranging aerial search for the potential of debris floating to the surface just to foreclose the possibility that it had broken up and floated to the surface, or indeed floated to the surface intact. And don't forget, if it had done, the people inside still couldn't get out because they're bolted in. But that was just, if you like, a sort of a plan B covering all options.
And do we know how early in proceedings they suspected the worst? Because there had been talk of a lot of speculation about how long the oxygen could last, whether it could last longer at a lower temperature if indeed the people on board were still alive down at the bottom of the ocean. Do we know at this stage when they reached the conclusion they've reached now?
Well, I mean, the conclusion was reached now at the point at which they found or located debris and were able to analyse it and match it with the missing vehicle. And that process happened late yesterday afternoon. So that is the timeline. So that's the timeline for that. I mean, it's as regards the oxygen, I think, given the nature of this company, and this was a renegade, by their own admission, a renegade operation. They broke the rules. They operated outside and indeed completely ignored global regulation. So I think anything that this company says, and they said 96 hours of oxygen potentially, should be taken with a pinch of salt. Don't forget, if they were down at the bottom and the craft was intact, they were sitting very, very still to conserve oxygen and conserve the amount they were breathing. But they were in around 2 to 4 degrees C, so they would become deeply hypothermic in a very short space of time. All of that entirely academic, because the whole thing was so poorly constructed it simply fell apart.
The details around the recovery of the debris and the implosion are probably very difficult news, no doubt, for the family of the five men on board to hear.
Well, yes, they are. But I mean, one, of course, this is a difficult and an awful situation for the families of those concerned. But these people were absolutely doing what they wanted to do. They were dedicated to doing it. They knew they were pushing the boundaries. They knew they were flouting the regulations. They knew they were ignoring international global strictures. They knew they'd been warned about it internally and externally, and to such an extent that anybody going on board signed a waiver saying that what you're about to do could involve in serious risk of injury and indeed death. And the CEO of the company, Stockton Rush, is on camera boasting about the fact, there's no other word you can use, boasting about the fact that they broke the rules. He says on camera, we used carbon fiber to make this and titanium. They said you couldn't do that, but we did it. And look what happened.
There are, I mean, what happens now from the point of view of it is a recovery operation now, if at all, given that, you know, they are down at the bottom of the ocean. There won't be an attempt, will there, to bring the bodies to the surface?
Well, given that we understand from all the information that this craft suffered catastrophic failure and essentially imploded, the bodies are unlikely to be there. The bodies may not be intact, as it were. I would have thought that an operation to recover the bodies would be exceptionally difficult, if not impossible, even to find them. Don't forget, 2 days ago, a 42-year-old fireman was lost in the English Channel, swimming the channel in the busiest sea lane in the world, in a very shallow, small piece of water. And they've lost him. And his body has not as yet been recovered. So to retrieve bodies or indeed body parts from that sort of a situation would be well nigh impossible.
Those safety issues you mentioned earlier, there's been quite a public conversation being held with people from both sides almost arguing it out about what should have been known in advance and the company defending itself.
Yeah, I mean, the arrogance of Ocean Gate is, it's hard to find words for. One of the founding members was on the radio this morning saying, quote, our innovation outstripped regulation. We were so good that we didn't need to be regulated. That's an extraordinary statement to make when your submersible, in which you think is so world-beating, has imploded. Their innovation, what they meant by innovation, innovation as in the craft implodes when it's subject to pressure, when they knew there were problems because the industry body had pointed out that carbon fiber could be problematic when operating under extreme pressure at extreme depth. The industry body begged them to get involved in regulation. They refused on the grounds of cost. Stockton Rush, the CEO, who's one of those dead, refused on the grounds of cost. And he said, we don't need to do it. So, you know, that is an extraordinary statement, you know, and they didn't outpace regulation at all. That's simply not true. And he knows that's not true. They ignored regulation.
Is there an issue now with submersible vehicles and the regulation around them? William Conan, chairman of the Manned Underwater Vehicles Committee, said regulations for building submersibles were written in blood.
Well, he said that, but he also said, because it's true, in 50-odd years, they've had no fatalities. We've had some narrow escapes, including one memorably in 1973, 150 miles off the coast of Ireland, you may recall. Now, those two gentlemen got out of that submersible with 12 minutes of air to spare. So there have been some near misses, but it's been phenomenally safe. And the reason it's phenomenally safe is because anybody who is credible operating manned submersibles at any kind of depth would do so in craft which have passed extensive, time-tested, internationally, globally agreed regulation. That is the exact opposite of what this outfit did, taking high-end tourists at enormous risk to go down to the Titanic. I think there will be an absolute push now for regulating these kind of high-risk tourist enterprises.
Finally, Alex, you spoke to a British businessman on Channel 4 News last night who was going to go on it but pulled out.
Yes, he was a Yorkshire businessman, and he was he was saying he got involved in it. He knows one of the other people who has killed Hamish Harding. He's a friend of Hamish Harding's, and he was going along, literally going along for the ride. But then he went and saw close up what this craft was about. He found out that one of the key elements of controlling it was effectively like a PlayStation, a kid's PlayStation. He found out that the ballast was made of heavy iron construction piping. He began to have a look around and look more closely. He thought, this isn't right. And when he found out finally that they were not putting this craft and had never put this craft through internationally agreed safety regulation procedures. He said, as he put it, that was one red flag too many and I pulled out. Right. He'd already paid his deposit. He was serious, but he wasn't going to do it.
All right. And I'm sure he doesn't regret that decision now. Alex Thompson, chief correspondent and presenter with Channel 4 News. Thanks for joining us. Coming up, flying camera phones, rude revelers and shouting. Have we forgotten good gig etiquette?
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.